Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunity by producing and supporting events and publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. And also by Drunken Dumpling in Chico. Created first as a food cart, Drunken Dumpling is now a dine-in restaurant serving locally sourced, fresh, handmade Asian fusion comfort food at 1414 Park Avenue, Suite 120, just behind Nobby's. Open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Details on Facebook, Instagram, and at DrunkenDumplingChico.com, where food, flavor, and community come together. Alrighty, thanks for tuning in. And get things rolling here in just a minute. It's going to be chilly tonight. I don't know about you, but, man, I wrapped all of my plants up outside. I suggest, I think it was 26 at my house this morning, which is definitely a death wish for most plants in this area. So keep that in mind and take good care of your furry friends as well. All right, let's get right to it. And we'll start our first interview. And, again, thank you for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond on this what's bound to be a chilly Thursday evening in Northern California. Yeah, we're going to take a different angle. We're going to attack this from a different angle. So just, you try something new. And, you know, sometimes new is good. Sometimes it doesn't quite go.
Lord. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome back to Butte Views and Beyond. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Ray.
Yeah, for sure. So Museum Weekend is coming up.
It is. So this is going to be the third annual Butte County Museum Weekend. Explore Butte County started working with the museums 3 years ago, right before the pandemic. There was this great sort of movement after we coordinated with the restaurants for Restaurant Week countywide. It was, there's this great opportunity to do that with museums. And they were so excited to work together and have sort of this outlet for one space for everybody to participate under the umbrella. So started back in 2020. And then, of course, we went into sort of lockdown. And last year it was a virtual event. And this year it'll be 2 days, the last weekend here in February. And we have 16 museums participating, opening their doors, welcoming the public back. To get reacquainted with them.
I'm looking at the site right now. It's again, I love museums. That's one of the fun things I like to do when I travel, and especially kind of the out of the way ones. And I'm looking at this going, I've never been to the Gridley Museum.
So what's really awesome about the Gridley Museum is it's like right in downtown. Their docents are so committed to getting people in there. And this year they are, they're going to let people go up to the second floor, and they have some like new exhibits that they're going to share this year. So, it's fun. We filmed some Gridley events this year, and the Gridley Museum was right in the background. So really kind of cool to check out the gems that you may not have known were here.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure if people really realize, you know, you think of the history of California, Northern California, and you think of like, oh, you know, Sutter came and built Sacramento, and, you know, Bidwell came and the whole Chico land grant and all that. But Marysville, Yuba City, I mean, it used to be steamships coming up and down the Sacramento River, up to the Feather right. River. And that area was extremely active. You know, in the 1840s, 1850s, I mean, I don't think people, you might think like, oh, Yuba City, or it must be a new place, Marysville. Well, they probably built that in the 60s or something.
Right. And Ashley from our.
Lord. Hi, Carolyn. Welcome back to Butte Views and Beyond. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Ray.
Yeah, for sure. So Museum Weekend is coming up.
It is. So this is going to be the third annual Butte County Museum Weekend. Explore Butte County started working with the museums 3 years ago, right before the pandemic. There was this great sort of movement after we coordinated with the restaurants for Restaurant Week countywide. It was, there's this great opportunity to do that with museums. And they were so excited to work together and have sort of this outlet for one space for everybody to participate under the umbrella. So started back in 2020. And then, of course, we went into sort of lockdown. And last year it was a virtual event. And this year, it'll be 2 days, the last weekend here in February. And we have 16 museums participating, opening their doors, welcoming the public back to get reacquainted with them.
I'm looking at the site right now. It's again, I love museums. That's one of the fun things I like to do when I travel, and that, and especially kind of the out of the way ones. And I'm looking at this going, I've never been to the Gridley Museum.
So what's really awesome about the Gridley Museum is it's like right in downtown. Their docents are so committed to getting people in there. And this year they are, they're going to let people go up to the second floor, and they have some like new exhibits that they're going to share this year. So, it's fun. We filmed some Gridley events this year, and the Gridley Museum was right in the background. So really kind of cool to check out the gems that you may not have known were here.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not sure if people really realize, you know, you think of the history of California, Northern California, and you think of like, oh, you know, Sutter came and built Sacramento, and, you know, Bidwell came and the whole Chico land grant and all that. But Marysville, Yuba City, I mean, it used to be steamships coming up and down the Sacramento River, up to the Feather right. River. And that area was extremely active. You know, in the 1840s, 1850s, I mean, I don't think people, you might think like, oh, Yuba City, or it must be a new place, Marysville. Well, they probably built that in the 60s or something.
Right. And Ashley from our team, she did, this is anecdotal, so maybe it's not 100% accurate, but we like to think it is. That if you look at like museums per capita in other places in the state, particularly in Oroville, I mean, we have six locations participating just in Oroville alone. And so when you think of sort of, it's a smaller population base, but there is so much history and nature and so many things to celebrate. It's really cool to see. And I mean, I know, Ray, that you've been in the Oroville State Theater before, and I know we've spent some time there, but you know, the fact that it's sort of changed hands, but that a lot of people don't know all of the renovation that's gone on inside, and that they're restoring it to its sort of glory. And it's a great opportunity to check it out. And the Wurlitzer organ, pipe organ that's in there. Right. And there's only a handful of those in the world, and that it's operating, and they'll be playing that during museum weekend. So just really cool gems in our community that I think aren't necessarily celebrated as often, but this is a fun time to see what there is. Just kind of get reacquainted with those faces.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when they were working on that Wurlitzer, they literally took the entire thing apart, had a downtown storefront they worked in, and they completely renovated it. And I mean, we're talking thousands of pieces and put it back together. And it was a big deal. It was like national news. It was one of those human interest stories that got picked up.
It is a big deal. And, you know, we have the history piece, but then we also have the Children's Museum in downtown Chico, and the Science Museum at the university, both antique museum. I always think it's funny because I didn't realize that was his name. So when I came back here, I didn't know much about it, but to understand that was his name, and you know, that museum has been featured so many times on so many different outlets. So just these cool things. I mean, of course, the Gold Nugget Museum, it's an opportunity to go back up. I think they had a ribbon cutting just not too long ago in the new space, but to go and see what their plans are in Paradise and on the Ridge as they rebuild. So again, just, it's going to be beautiful weather, a great opportunity to grab the family and visit the museums open there. And what'll be nice is all of the museums will be open from 10 to 4, both Saturday and Sunday. Of course, it's free admission. A handful of the museums will have, you know, special timed things. So you'll want to look at the actual special. So for example, the oh gosh, I was just looking at it. There's like a speaker series happening at, I believe it's the history, Chico History Museum. I'm gonna look to make sure I have that right. A talk from 11 and 2 on both days at the Chico History Museum. So looking at, you know, not just being open, but what special things will be happening at the museums as well.
Yeah, for sure. And we're talking this coming weekend, the 26th and 27th. So it's coming up.
Yes.
And it's honestly, you know, looking through these, and I'm, of course, I love, if people have never been down to the Feather River Nature Center, that's just a magical place to be.
Absolutely.
It's I think it's the most beautiful part of the river. And then if you look back at the history, that used to be a big sandy beach there. You know, the rivers have changed since they built the dam and the flow of water and things. But they, again, they used to bring steamships up the Feather River. It's pretty remarkable, and to see that. And it's just such a magical place down there. And then they've got a lot of beautiful sculptures in the whole area. Don't get fooled by the size of the building. It's a good, you know, you could spend, honestly, you can bring your lunch there and spend 3 or 4 hours just hanging out and checking the place out.
Yeah. I feel that way about a lot of the museums. Like, it's just, you don't exactly know what you're going to step into when you do. You're like, I couldn't imagine I was going to see this much or that the space is this big. So.
Right. Yeah. And the Pioneer Museum's like that as well. It just keeps going. It's just like, wow, there's more. and it's exciting that Gold Nugget Museum has a new home. That's great. And, you know, as they continue to rebuild on the ridge. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. You know, the Centerville Coleman Museum, a lot of people are like, where is that? I didn't know that was, again, back to these small places that the community has loved for so long. And, you know, a lot of the things in particular our history museums are from the people who lived here in generations ago, and that their family members are still involved. So to hear those stories and see the history, that sort of living history piece, is really cool.
Yeah, for sure. And that's one that I think the only time I was out there, it was closed. So I'm like, okay, we can see if we can get out to that one too. So
yeah,
sounds fun. Okay, so people want the all the info, of course, explorebuttecounty.com is the place to go, right?
Absolutely. You'll find the listing right on our homepage, or if you want to look further, it's under more, but explorebuttecounty.com/museum-weekend. I'll get you right to that landing page, or just explorebuttecounty.com.
You know, and it's great. And again, there's no charge. It's open entry, 10 to 4. Great. Get the kids out of the house, education, a little fun. And you'd be amazed about what's in our own backyard. I am constantly amazed. By, like you said, just the richness and the documentation of the history here. I mean, it's just incredible. And like I said, a lot of these families are still running around.
Yes, they are.
So really fun. All righty. Well, thank you so much, Carolyn, for taking time with us on Butte Views and Beyond. And we look forward to seeing you again with, there's always something new at Explore Butte County. So we've talked to this before. If you have friends or family coming up, or you don't know what to do this weekend, and it's nice out, and you can't really think of what I should, you know, jump over to explorebuttecounty.com and check out some of the hikes, all the things you can do. I always find things that I'm like, I had no idea that was there, and it's only a mile from my house.
Fantastic.
So way to go. Alrighty, thanks again.
Thanks, Ray.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye.
I will take a little musical break, and we'll be right back here on Butte Views and Beyond. a little bit of our theme song here, Eternal Funk. Of course, the great Ken Clark Hammond B3 Organ Trio. Somehow got missed in the beginning, but of course we pulled them out of the fire. Alrighty, let's jump into our next heartwarming interview.
Well, I would like to welcome a couple of new guests to Butte Views and Beyond, Pam Figge and Bray Sisk. Welcome to the show. Pam is a volunteer at Manka, and Bray is David Sisk, a.k.a. Sisko's daughter. And I know you guys have an exciting exhibit planned for Manka coming up.
Yeah, yeah. We're real excited. I'll let Bray take it from here because she's been instrumental in helping us organize and get this exhibit that's going to be at the Chico, for the Chico community at Manka. And it'll be there from April 14th until June 12th with an opening reception on Friday, April 15th. Bray.
Thanks, Pam. And Pam is so very humble in that she, as a volunteer from Manka, has been heading up our committee and doing so much work to make sure that this show really represents my father's work and allows us to celebrate him and his life in and among the community through his art. So we're pretty excited about this opportunity and have been working closely with a committee through Manka to pull all the different pieces together. And we're really hoping to bring everything from the community that's out there that wants to be shown in this show. So we are still taking submissions till March 1st of pieces that people may have, whether it's a wall hanging, a mirror, a standing piece, even a bolo tie, anything that if you have a piece of art of Sisko's and you'd like to lend it to Manka for this collector's show, we're really excited to be seeing all the beautiful pieces that are out in the community right now.
Yeah, if people are interested, you got a website or phone number or something?
Yes, we're taking submissions. Please send a photograph and a little idea of the dimensions of the piece to siskocollective@gmail.com. That's siskocollective@gmail.com.
All right, very good. And the good... taking those through March 1st or up until March 1st?
Through March 1st.
Through March 1st. Okay, great. And that gives you guys about, 6 weeks to get everything inventoried and figured out? And
yes, there's so much there and there's so much we want to say and be able to show people about David Sisk and Sisko, his alter ego. Is that what I would say, right?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a good one. I recently found an ethnography that some anthropology students had done of my father in the 90s, I think it was, in the mid-90s, when he was at the drive-by gallery and doing murals and billboards. And it was just fun to see how they perceived him and what they took in of his art and his persona. And there was a piece about Sisko. And it very much was that Sisko was a kind of its own living being that my dad was kind of like the representative of, you know. He brought Sisko to us, and Sisko had a lot to say about life and about spirituality and about how to be kind and good and well as humans on the planet. So we welcome Sisko and all that he has to say, even from the beyond.
Yes. That's why I guess the title of the exhibit is Sisko Lives, a Collector's Show.
Yeah. Perfect. I mean, it is that energy, that's for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, and I think we all maybe, I mean, I imagine a lot of people, it's hard to know what it looks like from the outside being in the family. Is when my dad passed, it was really palpable how many people in this community he had touched through his work, through his person, through the way that he was as an artist. And and it really was also really present for me that he does live on in his art. And that was really something that he kind of hoped for, even though he was a really humble man in many ways, that he did want to make an impression on people.
Yeah. And I you know, it's funny because he was a very humble guy. He was a very quiet guy. He didn't want any attention, you know. You gave him praise, you feel he was uncomfortable, you know. But then there's the Sisko, you know, so it's really Yeah, it's really interesting. And you mentioned the drive-by gallery. Let's talk about that a little bit, because that was a pretty, you guys were there for quite a while. And it was a pretty cool spot, pretty cool space.
Yeah, it was, I think it was about 20 years that my dad was there, maybe a little bit longer. Originally, he had shared that gallery space and the art studios there with some other folks that were maybe more in charge of it. And then at a certain point, he sort of took over the main lease of the space, and there were multiple artist studios and kind of like a rugged maker space that had a gallery that we could have events in. I think that was probably what we did most in some way, but then there was always art up that people could see, thus the name 24-hour drive-by gallery, because of the big windows in the front of the space. And yeah, a lot of things happened there, a lot of really great creative connections, some of the beginnings of art collaborations like Chococo, and some of the early performance art that we were doing, the group that I was involved in, we were doing more performance art in, gosh, I guess that was like in the early 2000s that we were really there. And lots of people that we know had their first, like, you know, they met someone there that they ended up marrying at the puzzle show, or like they, you know, they, their daughter had her first musical gig and now has like toured all over the world and like made music in all these different places. So this kind of like generative seed space of art and creativity with all ages really was what that place was about, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And if people don't know, was it on 7th Street, 6th Street?
Yeah, it was on 7th Street, just across from the Tin Roof. And then now it's kind of like used by the auto store in front. So it's not, you know, it's not a space like it was before, but
right.
We kept it alive for a long time, even though it's just a funny old warehouse, you know, but
yeah.
It's amazing what you can do with a space when you bring your creativity to it.
And like you said, it was all windows in the front, and you know, you go by at night, it's lit up, people stop, you look in, you check it out. It was so big inside. I mean, and especially for David's work, you could make giant things in there, which was really,
yeah.
Like, that was get this out of here, you know.
It was like a big canvas, you know, always like we could change. My dad loved to make billboards. Even when we were growing up, he would, you know, make a billboard in our yard and have some art up. Like, he was just always about making his art accessible. And I read recently an interview from some years back where he really states that, like, clearly that he wanted, with the public Cisco announcements, the billboard pieces that people would see on the street, you know, that was his probably most public presentation of his art, that he really wanted that the art to be accessible to anybody, like anybody who could walk by. And so the same thing with the drive-by gallery.
Yeah, let's talk about the billboards, because those were, yeah, I think like a lot of people have seen it. They might not have known anything about it, but they were so iconic. Especially some of those locations down there by the where the creek is, you know,
yeah.
8th and 9th, or was that, what is that, 10th maybe, something like that. Now, was that an arrangement that he had with the company, or did he just have those billboards, or was that like a filler? How did that work?
So my dad was a billboard painter for many years before they started printing digital billboards. They actually had people paint them, and then sure. They put them up. And my dad was one of those people, and he painted many billboards. And I think so he started to see life and art through this different lens of like, how can you make something really big and bold that catches people's attention right away, that has maybe a message that you want them to leave with, right? This is all billboard art as advertising. Mm-hmm. But he started adding his own sort of guerrilla art thought form to it, and started noticing billboards that weren't being painted, or that were left empty for some months. And he, you know, started out with some like guerrilla art, actually. There was the first one I remember was on the Skyway as you're coming down from Paradise. There was a board right near Honey Run, where Honey Run comes in, which was where my parents lived for many years in Butte Creek Canyon. And he decided just to like go, you know, guerrilla art on it, and went down there and painted. I don't know if he did it in the middle of the night or what exactly he did. And he, that one was War Happens If We Let It. And this was like, I think in the late, you know, 80s or early 90s. And slowly his boss noticed that he had done some of these guerrilla art things, and he actually thought they were quite provocative. And he started to support my dad's art.
Sure. Well, he gave notice to the guy's location, first of all.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a multifaceted thing. Plus, it fills it up. So it's kind of... Oh, that's,
and then after a certain point, he did start, like, you know, actually paying for the advertising. Uh-huh. And his form of advertising was the public Cisco announcement, which was usually an announcement of, like, how to be, like, thoughtful as a human in some way. That was, like, that was his public service announcement was, like, the time we take is the time we have, or, you know, love is God, or these little short sayings that his Cisco says, statements that went alongside with his art.
Right, right. Oh, that's so cool. It's you know, it just warms your heart, you know. I mean, it's just like, it's just nice to know. It's just nice to know that was the cause. And I know he influenced so many other people and artists and gave opportunities across the spectrum, you know, which is really, really amazing.
And Ray, I think you well know what he did for nonprofits like KZFR.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He really supported almost every nonprofit I can think of by, you know, providing a piece of his art for an auction or something that would bring money to that nonprofit, you know.
The Cisco T-shirt series we had.
Yes.
I think I have a mug. I know he did a mug 1 year or a couple of years. He did mugs and, on and on and on. And all the groups he supported over the years.
Well, and that makes you think of the scale this man worked in. I mean, he did billboards and he did pins.
Prolific.
On your shirt or a t-shirt.
Prolific. Yeah.
Yes.
And the Boulder guys. I remember, you know, when I used to do art fairs back in the day, you know.
Yes.
Back in the, even before I moved up here, back in the late 80s and stuff, I would run into him at, you know, different shows, you know, and, you know, it was, and then, of course, your mom as well, you know, who's, you know, Beth has done so much for the community. Her healing hands that have helped so many people. It's a great lineage, that's for sure.
Yeah, I feel proud for sure to be in the lineage of such deeply passionate social justice people. You know, like really the walk and the dynamic duo of the two of them together.
Right.
Just thinking how, you know, how passionate my dad would be sometimes about making those art pieces or posters or things for a cause in town. Like he really was deeply passionate about that, the work. And he was grateful that he had a way to show up, you know. That was his, you know, his gift to make the art, to make the poster, to put the word out in that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's beautiful to see the Cis family coming together and Beth, Bray and Jeb, all doing, I think, kind of a healing process by making sure their legacy of their father carries on. And it's beautiful to see that and beautiful to work with a family.
Thanks, Pam. Yeah, it's been really an honor to be able to be with him in that way. You know, it's like that in a way we got to see him in a different light through his public persona and the way that he touched people. And I remember that, you know, right after he passed, that even in the sense that it was beautiful and overwhelming how many people were feeling his passing and, you know, really being touched by it. And then it also really struck me how there's this other person that he was in the world. And like through his art, we just are getting to experience him so richly right now as we prepare for this show.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, look, we're all here on borrowed time. Okay. We all know that. People don't want to admit it, but there's an obvious beginning and a very obvious ending.
Yeah.
And of course, how you spend that time in between is basically your gift to whatever you want to say. It's to yourself, to the universe, to whatever. People define it all these different ways. However, the creation of the Cisco energy is like, you know, it really, until you pass, it's not out there yet. You know, because you're still, it's like, oh, it's the alter ego or whatever. Now it's just this energy that's out there, yeah, that is emulating out of our community, out into the everywhere. It's pretty, I mean, it's pretty dynamic when you look at that. I mean, it's, yeah, this is like a big deal.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I love this. I love to hear that, just, you know, the way that it is like when someone has a sort of persona in their life, almost like I said, like he brought Cisco to us, like David Sisk, my father, brought Cisco to us. But Cisco lives beyond his lifetime because he really did let Cisco come through and, right, and show us all these ways to look at life and provoke us to think more deeply about our own experience and or how we were interacting with each other. And that doesn't go away. Like we get to continue to be inspired. And there'll be times when certain sayings that he had, you know, his sort of Cisco says statements will come through, you know, and it's like one of the ones that I've been loving lately is just, you know, things don't always go my way, but things do come my way. And just leaning into something that he offered through Cisco. And there are pieces and parts of Cisco I know that landed with other people in the community that I don't even know about. And that's why it's so fun to see all these pieces come forward, right? It's like, oh, some piece of art, an altar he made, or a certain, some statement that he made through a piece of art that somebody really resonated with. And so they, you know, took it into their home and into their life, and they're with that. And now we get to all see those pieces and see all the multifaceted parts of who he was as an artist, as Cisco. So really wonderful opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome. And I have to also touch on it, the whimsical nature of his work. And I'm sure he had so many mediums that we aren't even aware of. I'm sure, you know, he's one of these guys, I'm sure, that did all this different stuff. But it was so inclusive, and it makes people look at it and just not get, you know, sometimes people freak out about stuff. It's like, oh, I don't know. You know, sometimes art could be a little challenging or whatever. It was so inclusive, so whimsical, that people think like, wow, it makes me want to do something. It makes me want to reach into myself and discover my creative abilities, even if it's just for myself, even if it's just doodling on a piece of paper, that I am somehow going to connect it deeper into myself and also get some kind of stress relief kind of thing of just doing the creative thing and being, oh, yeah, I did that. Cool. And even if you crumble it up and throw it away. But his work was, it was so big around that, I thought, that it was just like, you know, it was extremely cool. I mean, he touched people that had no idea they were being touched.
Right. Until after the fact. Maybe later.
Yeah. They go home and next thing you know, they're doing some kind of face doodle or something. And they're like, oh, wow, cool. You know,
It's like it's infectious. We can create our own pandemic.
Totally.
Of artistic expression.
Yeah, it was just that transfer of energy that was so, it was so effortless. Like I said, you didn't even know it affected, you didn't even know you got hit. It wasn't like a bolt of lightning, you know? Sometimes it's a bolt of lightning.
He used bolts of lightning a lot in his art.
He kind of had this way of being like the muddled professor, or the sort of like what we called, we had a laugh not long before he died about him being kind of like a clown shaman. Like he had this very prophetic way, this very like sacred meets the profane, but also this like very whimsical nature. And it allowed his words, his like influence, his kind of, you know, his way to get into someone's heart and into someone's, you know, being, even without them noticing. And he didn't even know sometimes. Like he'd say things to people and he'd be kind of like, I don't really know why I said that. And then later it would have been like a really important thing in their life. And so we had a good laugh of how he was sort of, you know, like just unbeknownst to him kind of sometimes even. But he did always translate everything he did into art. You know, it's like he worked at an upholstery shop at one point, or he was making carpets or something early on before my brother and I were born. And he started then taking the scraps and making these murals out of these carpets. Wow. It was like, you know, he started painting billboards and then he became the public Cisco announcements. It was like anything and everything he had to do, just even to make money and feed his family, he saw through this lens of art. And then he like transformed it and made it work.
Right.
And I was reflecting on that the other day. It's like, wow, we could really all take, you know, take some notes from that. Like, how the framing we put on things and how creative we bring the creativity to whatever it is we're doing.
Right. Okay. Wow. This is pretty cool. All right. Let's do a quick recap here. So Pam, why don't you tell us why we're talking in case people just joined us?
Oh, we will be having Cisco Lives, a collector's show at MoCA. That's the Museum of Northern California Art. It's on the Esplanade across from the high school, if you haven't seen it, but I bet you have. And the exhibit will run from April 14th to June 12th with an opening reception on April 15th, Friday night. And it should be just an amazing show of all the different mediums and Sisk's words and everything about David Sisk that we all hold cherished. And the family, Sisk, has been helping us curate this show. It is a show that's being curated by the family and David's friends. So it's really special, and we're seeing lots and lots of wonderful art come in that Sisk did.
Yeah, you might want to mark that April 15th on your calendar, because I have a feeling it's going to be spilling out into the street if I know how Chico's going to roll with this.
I think so.
It's going to be a really fabulous time. And if it's all this is new to you, check it out. You will come out glowing. It's pretty. There's so much love and creativity that has channeled through your family. And thank you guys for taking time to be with us on Butte Views and Beyond. And I can't wait. I'm excited. And if you have a piece, let's talk about if somebody has some Sisko art that they want to loan to the exhibit.
Sure. Yeah. You want me to speak to that, Pam?
Sure, bro. No, you.
Yeah, so we are still collecting pieces of my father's art, of Sisko pieces that may be in your home. If you have a piece of his art that you'd like to lend to the Monca Museum for this art show, we're still collecting submissions through March 1st. And you can send a photo and the dimensions of the work to the email siskocollective@gmail.com. And that would be wonderful to see any more pieces that want to be part of the show. And then we'll let you know if your piece is chosen as we curate the show coming here in March.
All righty. Thank you, ladies, again for joining us. And I'll see you on the 15th of April for sure.
Great. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
All righty. We'll take a little musical break, and then we'll have Mark Edson, director and founder of Chico Theater Company, join us here. Big sound of Houston Persons, Joey DeFrancesco on B3 in the background, Song for a Rainbow from the opening round. Really sweet tune. Again, thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. And let's welcome our last virtual guest and our last interview of the evening. We'll be followed by Peanut Butter and Jelly Time, and then, of course, Face the Music.
I'd like to welcome Mark Edson, the founder and executive director of Chico Theater Company. Welcome to Butte Views and Beyond.
Hey, Ray, good to see you.
You too, man. You too. It's been too long. And I just thought it'd be a great time to maybe check in. And now that things are definitely on the other side, and I know you guys have been up and running for a little while now.
Yeah, we had to adapt because we were just going crazy without being able to do any kind of creative outlet. So we did a couple of shows on our back parking lot last fall. And then as soon as things lightened up at the end of spring, we opened up, and audiences have been a lot lighter than we're used to, but at least we're out there making the magic and people are enjoying it.
Yeah. And it's gotta be tough on your actors. And you know, everybody involved, it's like, hey, this is what we do, you know?
Yeah. They're creative people. And when you take that away for 20 months, you know, they start to go a little batty. So we were happy to do it. We did some staged readings inside, you know, with just like 8 people all socially distanced and stuff. And then as things have just gotten better and better, we've been able to open up a little bit more. And we're still on the small side with our shows. We, you know, nothing bigger than 8 to 10 people for casts. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But we're doing it.
Yeah. And you guys, you got a pretty full schedule too.
Yeah, we got the, you know, the mortgage and the bills to pay. So we got to keep cranking out the shows. And in fact, you know, because audience numbers are down, we have to make up for that in the number of shows that we do to keep that income coming in. And, you know, we've been very blessed with the season ticket holders. So many of them donated back their tickets when the pandemic hit and then gave money as well. We applied for some government grants. And so we have gotten through, we've weathered it, and we're just happy to be back up and producing shows again.
Yeah, well, that speaks volumes for our community. As we know, KCFR went through the same thing. And, you know, when in the darkest days, the outpour of love and appreciation from our listeners, from your clients, from your audience, it just overwhelms me. And it's, hey, that's what makes this place so special.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, you know, you guys you're right, in the same boat that we were. You know, all of a sudden things dried up. You couldn't have your events or do anything. And so it's just the love of Chico and the surrounding areas for, you know, KZFR and the theaters and all that was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's great to have live theater back. And so what's your spring looking like? Have you got your schedule pretty laid out?
Yeah, we're getting ready. March 4th, we're opening a comedy called The Fox on the Fairway, written by a guy named Ken Ludwig, who also did a great big hit called Lend Me a Tenor, Moon Over Buffalo, An American in Paris. He's a pretty popular writer. It's more along the lines of a British farce. A lot of running in and out of doors and over-the-top jokes. It's a very funny show. I'm happy because I get to be in a show finally. I haven't been in a show in quite a while.
Good for you.
There's 6 of us in it, and we're having a blast doing it.
Oh, nice. And how long is that going to run?
That'll run through March 19th, that Sunday. You know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, we get to do the show Sunday afternoons.
Right. Now, when you said you're doing more shows, are you doing more shows within a certain run of like 6 weeks or more shows just to fill the schedule?
Just more shows overall. We're actually doing 8 separate shows with, I think, 106 performances this year to make up for. A lot of times we've done 7 shows with like 90 performances annually. So we're right. Just trying to get in as many actual performances as we can.
Right, right, right. Okay. Oh, that sounds fun. I'm a big fan of the English madness myself.
Yeah, right.
What do you got coming after that? I saw one flip by on the webpage here.
Yeah, we just held auditions for Jesus Christ Superstar. This was the show that we opened it. We did 3 shows. And then that crazy week in March 2 years ago when all the world shut down, basically. And those people who had put in so many hours for Jesus Christ Superstar only got to do it 3 times and then it was over. So I decided we wanted to remount it and invite as many people back as we could. I think about a third of the cast was able to come back. And then we put some new folks in there and we're going to remount that. That'll open up April 22nd. It's just a great show. Andrew Lloyd Webber, Superstar, is just a very moving wonderful show. There's no talking. It's all music and it's all told through music.
Yeah. And it's one of those iconic soundtracks.
Yes.
I mean, I remember when it came, what year did that come out? Like 70 or 60?
That was in the 70s, early 70s. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember my dad bought the album and it was just, you know, it was like, it was tracking on the pop charts, on the rock and roll charts and stuff. And
yeah, it's funny. One of our actors that's in the show, Jeff, has a very similar experience with his dad. his dad brought home the album with Ian Gillan, and they bonded over listening to the music together, and that's always stuck with him.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And needless to say, my dad was not, I mean, you know, he would tolerate it, you know, he liked Alice Cooper, School's Out for Summer.
Right.
He would turn that up because he knew we loved it and stuff.
Yeah, do a little headbanging.
Yeah, I remember trying to introducing him to a whole lot of love, and it didn't last that long.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great show, and we're going to, the same director's doing it. Judy Strickland's directing it again, but she said, well, I've already done one version, so now I get to do a new version.
Oh, that's good. That's really cool that you're able to bring it back, because, I mean, I can't imagine all the months of practice and learning the songs and rehearsals, and then it's like, okay, curtains, you know, it's over.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That was one crazy week. I mean, when we thought we were going to be able to stay open, and then just as Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, that week rolled along, we were like, nope, this is going to be shut down, but only for 3 weeks, and then 6 weeks, and then 6 months.
Yeah. 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 Well, yeah, we all know. Good thing we have short memories, huh?
Right, right, yeah.
Whether we want to or not.
Yep.
All right, what's coming up after Superstar? We'll take you all the way into June.
Into June, we're doing a new comedy that has never been done in this area. It's called Flaming Idiots. Yeah. It's about these two postal workers who decide to quit their post office jobs and open a restaurant in New York. But then they find that nobody's coming to visit them. But they hear about this one across town that is booked out for years because a famous gangster was murdered at this certain table in the restaurant. So they decide, of course, Flaming Idiots being that they are, that they're going to stage a murder in their restaurant so that they'll become famous and have all kinds of people coming in to see in their restaurant. It's a very funny, funny show. As soon as I read it, I knew I wanted to produce it.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. It sounds like Lenny's Clam Bar in Little Italy.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Trust me, I went there.
They did? All right.
Little did I know, I heard the waiter telling someone that this isn't the same restaurant. It's down the street. We moved a couple of years ago.
Oh, we moved. Okay.
But everybody went there because that's where Columbo got dusted. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, that's great.
So are you still, obviously, if people are interested in auditioning or coming apart or a stagehand or something?
It's been a little tight, you know, among the local theaters trying to get actors. I don't know if they're just a little nervous about still coming out with, you know, some of the pandemic still hanging around. Some of them have moved away. A lot of them have changed jobs. And, you know, so that sometimes takes them away from being available to do any kind of rehearsal. So I think all the theaters in town are kind of fighting for the actors. If anybody out there in Radioland is interested in doing a show, they should give me a call or an email, and I'll tell them what's going on in all the theaters around town. We need talent, and it's such a fun time. You get to meet some great people, and you get this family that you spend about 3 months with, and you have a wonderful time being up there on stage.
Yeah, and it's a it like you said, it just opens a whole new world.
Yes, it does. We've actually had several people meet in shows and get married, and they are still married and having kids.
Wow. They could probably write a show about that.
Yeah, that's our legacy there.
Yeah. And of course, they would go to ChicoTheaterCompany.com, right?
Yep, that's the place to go. We have an audition tab there on that. Or they, like I said, they could give me a call, and I'll tell them anything they want to know.
Okay, yeah, just call you there. Facebook, yeah, on Facebook and all that groovy stuff.
Yeah, we got Facebook. We got about 5,000 followers, so we were always pumping out information about shows and auditions that are coming up, and events that are happening. Sometimes we'll bring in outside groups to perform here at the theater when we have open weekends.
Oh, that sounds excellent. All right, and then let's say somebody's listening, they're like, wow, I did theater in high school. I'd really like to give these guys a giant bag of cash.
Yeah, there we go.
They could call you as well, huh?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we have some great sponsorship opportunities. Or if you just want to volunteer, come down and usher and see a show, or work in the concession stand, or help paint sets. There's just so much stuff to be done. And we would love the chance to invite new people in.
Oh, that sounds great. That sounds great. I actually did some set stuff back in high school for a
year. Yeah, high school, right?
About a year and a half. And And it is. And it opened me up to a whole. I was like a woodshop guy, you know. I was, you know, woodshop saved my life. But all of a sudden, building stuff was like, oh, this is cool. I dig this.
Yeah, there's a great satisfaction in building a set and standing back, looking at it and going, dang, this looks really good.
Yeah. Well, if you're fortunate enough to be retired and you have some skills, talk to Mark, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you got that screwdriver and a circular saw. Come on down.
All right, sounds good. So let's see. So right now, Fox on the Fairway.
March 4th, yeah.
Okay. And then
tickets, you can go to our website or go to Chico Tix, ChicoTix.com is a direct link to the ticketing website.
Okay, and if people don't know where you are, you're right there on Eaton Road, right off the freeway.
Yeah, 18 years now. We bought the building about 8 years ago and are continuing to improve it. And yeah, we're right here next to good old Clark Pest Control.
Yeah, yeah, right across from Philadelphia Square. You can't miss them.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have tons of parking too.
Yeah, we got lots of good parking and, you know, restaurant Soul's right there, Fresh Twisted, if you want to grab something to eat before you come to the show.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, Soul and Fresh Twisted, both excellent places.
Yeah, good locally owned restaurants.
Yeah, right down the street. Hey, Mark, I know you got rehearsal tonight, so I'll cut you loose, but thank you so much for joining us, and let's check in again maybe and see what's happening for the summer.
Absolutely, Ray. We love you guys there at KZFR. Listen all the time.
All right, and again, tickets available at Chico Tix, or you can go to their website, Chico Theater Company, for links. And, of course, season tickets, that's a way to go. It's a great gift.
Oh, absolutely. Gives all year long.
Yeah, and it's a great – if you've never taken your kids to live theater, or, you know, if you have taken care of grandparents or something like that, take them out to the theater. It's just magic.
Yeah, right around Christmas time, I get a lot of calls from people that are like, I want to buy season tickets for my parents that live in Chico, and they're, like, back in Massachusetts. But it's a great gift for them.
Yeah, and get some out of the house and have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
All righty, buddy. Thank you, man. Have a great night.
Take care, Ray.
All righty. Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. And thank you to all my guests, to Carolyn from Explore Butte County. Museum Weekend is this weekend. All the Butte County museums are featuring open houses with special exhibits, no entry. Go to explorebuttecounty.com for details. Has all the lists. I think there's 16 museums throughout the county. Always a fun thing to do. And then, of course, the Chico Theater Company and their ongoing schedule. If you can go to their website, you'll see the full display of what's coming up. And then, of course, we want to thank Pam and Bray for Sisk and Pam Figge helping put together the Cisco Lives exhibit at Monca. That's going to be a really, really special event. And I'm sure we'll be talking a little bit more about that as we get forward. And if you do have some items of David Sisk's, a.k.a. Cisco, that you'd like to have considered. They have a Facebook page, I believe, and you get the information there, or you can just give Monca a call. All righty, let's thank our underwriters. We want to thank D.A. Lampe Construction, a proud supporter of KCFR and Community Radio in Northern California. For more information, visit dalampeconstruction.com. And also by Mountain Sports for over 45 years, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, backpacking, camping, traveling, and enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and 11 to 4 on Sunday, located at 176 East 3rd Avenue in downtown Chico. Peanut butter and jelly time coming up next. Again, my name's Ray. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight, and have a wonderful evening and weekend. We'll be right back.
water jelly time.
Baseball bat.
Peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now way up, way up, way up, way up.
Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Peanut butter jelly. Baseball bat.
To the peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly, peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Now tick tack toe, tick tack toe,
let's go.
Tick tack toe,
you got it.
Tick tack toe,
let's ride.
Now way up, way up, way up, way up.
Now there you go, there you go, there you go, there you go.
Peanut butter jelly.